drive across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Powerade Tidal Burst presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, that closing ceremony in Atlanta, those Waratahs on wheels, how do they bode for the Sydney Games? It's census night with dull diaries and logbooks for peaploaders. Mick Malloy is here to help you with your mountain of paperwork. Having trouble getting up of a morning? Pete Smith has the answer. And what's the latest with Michael Jackson's nose? We'll find out on State of the Beak. On Radio Gladiators, we'll ask, could your mum join the Sex Pistols? We'll step into the booth for some more true confessions. And joining us live once again, it's comedian Dave O'Neill. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that wants to see inflatable Kanga cycling become an official Olympic event. Martin Malloy. That's Ace of Base. Good afternoon, Australia. This is Martin Malloy for a Tuesday with guess who? Let's just do a quick census, shall we? Myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who tonight at 8 p.m. precisely is going to try and squeeze 600 one-legged Torres Strait Islanders into his lounge room just to totally confuse the team down at the census department. Mick Malloy.
Well, that'll get him talking. Hang on a second.
Because if you can do that, that's going to be on the public record.
Well, that's it, Tony. It is census night tonight, as you said. Now, if you are coming over for my Melrose party, bring your pen, all right? You've been told, hey, give us a look at your arm.
What's wrong?
Roll up your sleeve.
What? Cheating dog.
What?
You've got the answers written on your arm. You dirty, rotten census cheat.
Well, I'm sitting next to you then. And don't shield your paper with your arm like you did last time.
Right.
Make sure I can see. And if we get separated, do the old,
hey. B.
You know, never fails, buddy.
There's no second chance on census night.
No, it's exactly right. Because if we don't pass, we may have to sit it again. And quite frankly, I'm sick of all the paperwork. Tone, I'm not joking. These days, you cannot scratch your ass without filling in a form and running off copies to the relevant departments. Not only is it census night, not only do you now have to fill in a dull diary if you can't find work, but now, if you're on L plates, you've got to keep a logbook. This is a, well, long overdue, really, isn't it?
If you want to just lay it out for people who haven't read the story, it's absolutely true.
It's absolutely true. It's a diary. It's a logbook. You've got to keep it in your car and keep it for you. If you're unemployed and learning to drive a car, it's going to be pens down at about 4 o'clock in the morning for you tonight. You're going to be snowed under in the paperwork. Go get yourself a good pen. That's my advice. Maybe one of those feathers you dip in ink, because you're going to be punching out the literature at a greater rate of knots than Stephen King. Tone, we all know about the census. We're still coming to terms with the dull diary, and now this, the L plate logbook, which they have to keep for over a year to prove they've experienced a range of driving conditions. And then you have to get it signed by your parent, driving instructor, or supervisor. Great, isn't it? Logbook, entry, 6th of the 8th, 96. Drove down to newsagent to get more pens! Logbook, entry, 7th of the 8th. Drove car through the front of Transport Minister's office. Conditions, excellent. Here's some advice for L-platers. Don't drive to a job interview unless your name's Leo friggin' Tolstoy, because you'll be nose down in the books till Christmas. Who reads them? Who reads them? And what's to say someone else won't pinch your work? If Helen Darville Demidenko was learning to drive, what's to stop her just helping herself to your original work? Okay, she claims she's the daughter of a Ukrainian cab driver. Let's see his logbook.
I'm getting mine copyrighted.
All right, smart move. Gee, I don't know if that'll be a good idea, actually. Logbooks for cab drivers. Entry, 6th of the 8th, 96. Spilt souvlaki on my shirt. Conditions, still on the bugle. I'm amusing myself. Here's an idea for anyone who can't keep up with the paperwork. Hire a ghostwriter or biographer. While you're cruising around in the car, they just sit in the back seat recording your deeds of daring do. Same with the dull diary. I'll tell you now, I do not go for a job interview unless they find an extra seat for Blanche DelPuget. No, I'm not joking. I believe Kitty Kelly is working on something about me too, but that's the unauthorised dull diary. Oh, yeah, I don't want to go into that now. Yeah, grubby piece of fiction it is, Tone.
Muckrakers.
Piece of fiction. Anyway, I'd like to continue, but I'm afraid I've got to go. If you'll excuse me, I think I'll go and take a massive dump. But hey, why am I telling you? You'll be able to read all about it once my writer's grant comes through.
I know, that's collective soul here at Martin Molloy, where we're frantically filling out our census forms, our Dole diaries.
Not yet.
Our P-plate logbooks. And there's always time for a bit of post-Olympic chat on the show, Mickey. Mm. And, well, the Atlanta Olympics are behind us. Mm. And last night, Australians tuning into the spectacular closing ceremony got their first sniff of what to expect in Sydney come the year 2000. And if last night is any indication, the answer is balloon animals. Bloody big balloon animals. In just 7 short minutes, the man behind the Sydney 2000 preview, Rick Birch, gave us balloon folding on a grand scale, starting with a squadron of kiddies on BMXs, each one receiving what to me looked like the amorous advances of a giant unformed fetal kangaroo bearing a massive set of painfully swollen testicles. Ride though they might, the youngsters seemed unable to shake off the horny inflatables, and at one point, Kanga cyclist number 4 nearly came a cropper when his tail got caught up in the spokes. I told them not to let Shane Kelly ride in the parade, Mickey, but they wouldn't listen. The blow-up fun continued as the ruse were joined by 3 massive Waratahs on wheels. And people thought we were taking the piss last week when we suggested bananas and pyjamas for the clothes.
Yep.
Sadly, it wasn't the Waratahs on wheels precision driving team. I'd have loved to have seen them attempt to jump a row of inflatable dingoes, but there wasn't time, because at this point the stage was overrun by dancing, muscly blokes dressed in outrageous cockatoo costumes, suggesting to me, at least, that the gay Mardi Gras is going to play a big part in Sydney's 2000 games. Bircho says the cockatoos were there to represent the mug lair, the larrikin side of the Australian personality. Now, I'm sorry, if they were genuine Aussie larrikins, they wouldn't have been puncing about like extras in the Chicken Tonight commercial. They would have been running amok, pantsing Juan Antonio Samaranch and taking to those inflatable roos with freshly sharpened pencils. In fact, before the show, they would have rigged one of the cyclists' backpacks, so instead of a kangaroo, one of them large inflatable mail order naked women slowly emerged, so the cyclist and the massive international viewing audience could get a true preview of the kind of hijinks they can expect come the year 2000. Now, with Waltzing Matilda and Didgeridoo music blasting at full volume, I thought all the cliches had been accounted for, but suddenly Mr. Gaspo's turned on his biggest surprise yet as an enormous inflatable representation of the Sydney Opera House appeared out of nowhere, providing not only a spectacular finale, but a chance for a bit of bouncing castle fun for the kiddies on the bikes. I must say, when I saw the first of those big blow-up tubes going up, Mickey, I thought, so that's what Aussie astronaut Andy Thomas was up to last month aboard the Endeavour. Inflatable weather satellite, my foot! He was trying out our closing ceremony off-Broadway, as it were. Way off-Broadway. Anyway, despite the non-appearance of an inflatable Arthur Tunstall, the display has provoked much criticism and cringes of embarrassment right around the country, with opinion divided as to whether it was gold or cheddar. For his part, organiser Birch considers it a roaring success. The Americans lapped it up. They loved the kangaroos, etc. It was only Australians who found it cliched and corny, said Birch, wearing an Akubra festooned with corks and biting into a damper as he attached his third leg and wobble board for the big finale.
Kangaroos, inflatable kangaroos, Mickey.
I'm going it with a lit cigarette. I'll put an end to your ways, mon frère.
When does the inflatable kangaroo cull start? Is that happening soon? Certainly hope so.
That's ugly.
That was Soft Sell with Tainted Love here at Martin Molloy.
Hi, Pete Smith here. Are you having trouble getting out of bed in the morning? Got something on that you really just can't afford to miss? Then pick up the phone and book yourself a Pete Smith wake-up reminder call.
Hello?
Up and at 'em, you sleepyhead.
What?
Come on, haul ass, you dopey bastard.
What the?
It's that simple. I've recorded a number of wake-up reminder calls that are perfect for any occasion.
Hello?
Wakey, wakey, hand off snakey.
Oh, God.
Here's one you're sure to love.
Hello?
Hi, Pete Smith here. This is your 11 o'clock wake-up call, so get out of bed, you bum, or you won't have time to fill out your Dole diary before the start of the midday show.
Hey.
What's that? You're a particularly heavy sleeper, I hear you say. Not a problem. Here at the Pete Smith wake-up reminder call headquarters, we've got a variety of tricks up our sleeve when it comes to getting no-good layabouts like you out of bed.
Hello?
Fire! Fire! What? We're all gonna die! My skin is blistering! Forget me! Save yourself! Save yourself!
Jeez. And here's one that would have Rip Van Winkle dragging his lazy backside out of the boudoir.
Hello?
This is your 9 o'clock wake-up call. That's 9 o'clock. Only 10 hours till...
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm up! I'm up already! Knock it off!
So go on, pick up the phone before you go to bed and book yourself a Pete Smith wake-up reminder call. And we guarantee next time you pick it up, you'll be in for a rude awakening.
Hello?
Out of bed now, pussy.
What?
I can be there in 5 minutes to slap you around, Chester. So pull the finger out and get those buns in the shower pronto.
Leave me alone, Pete.
Hey, pal, if you put a trace on this call, you just might find that it's coming from inside your house.
I'm up, I'm up. Leave me alone, I'm up.
Celine Dion, Falling Into You, once again here at Martin Malloy, where in the next hour, Dave O'Neill's going to be dropping by. Dave O'Neill, comedian Dave O'Neill, he's either been to your city or he's coming soon with his show, Smells Like Midnight. He's been in before. He'll be on the Yak again. We'll find out how he's going to go with his census form. Also, Radio Gladiators is coming up. And in the next hour also, we've got True Confessions, which we kicked off yesterday.
Yes.
It was a chance for people to just reach down into the back drawer of the mind and pull something out that they haven't told anyone about for quite some time. And we had a girl who won it, who dressed up as Michael Jackson and gone along to a Michael Jackson lookalike competition, an ambitious event in itself, and it had been cancelled, and hijinks ensued. So we'll be seeing if we can go one better on that today. True Confessions in the next hour, your chance to win a trip to old Blighty. Mm. And what about Michael Jackson? While we're talking Michael Jackson, let's find out what's happening with his nose, shall we?
Oh, please.
It's time for State of the Beak. Yes, time for a freak beak update. What's happening with Jacko's nose? People are always asking us, faxing us in, calling us up. What news have you got now? In the New Weekly, you might have seen this headline on the front. Public shame, Jacko's nose slides off.
You've got to read on.
You've got to read on. Congratulations, New Weekly. That's a beauty. And listen to this. Wacko Jacko. They love calling him that. Wacko Jacko's schnoz was washed off his face when the moonwalking star was doused with water while filming a video. Insiders say it was just a matter of time before Michael's nose succumbed to all the plastic surgery. We've talked about this before. But instead of blah, 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 listen to this. The operations have killed the tissue at the end of his nose. It's not pretty. I'm afraid we've started, so we've got to continue.
We're talking about the Sphinx.
He's a modern-day Sphinx. The operations have killed the tissue in the end of his nose, forcing him to wear a fake tip. It was this tip held on with glue and covered with makeup that came off during filming.
You know who made it? Tonya Todman. She's been sitting around working on Jacko's nose.
With a couple of Yoplait cartons and a bit of string.
It looks like he's off to see the wizard. Tell me this, what's he got? He's got a fake tip on the end of his nose.
That's right.
It can come off.
It's a nasal extension.
He should keep it on a little chain, like the pens at the bank, so he never loses it. I saw him walk around the other day chalking it, you know, like a billiard cue. A little piece of chalk. What's going on with the Jacko?
Listen to this. Doctors have had the task of making what's left of Michael's nose look normal. And that could take some time, considering the singer has had it shortened, thinned and lifted. All in an effort to look more like Diana Ross. He's also been obsessed with imitating the chiselled features of the young Elvis Presley. I think chiselled features is a metaphor. I don't think Elvis actually had his face chiselled away there, Jacko. Mm. But here's one of my favourites too, down here further on. Because, you know, he has to come up with excuses to have something over his face. So, you know, he'll have a surgical mask on. He's a beauty. He's gone to a toy shop recently with a young friend and decided to kit himself out in flowing Arabian robes complete with scarves over his face. So he's just looking for any excuse to have stuff on his... He's always got the hair hanging down. He must love Red Nose Day. Because he just walk around all day going, ta-da, no need for the wacky hair, no need for the surgical mask. Check it out. Every day's Red Nose Day around at the Neverland Ranch.
That's good. Tone, if I can pick up the baton at that point.
Hang on, there's more. You're saying that the no story isn't enough?
The no story is not enough because it is a very disturbing story that was related to me by a good friend who read it, so it must be true. Jacko turned up in George Hamilton's cigar lounge, honking onto a cigar. Now, we've got... I'm not joking. He's George Hamilton, of course, who we all know, is he's got a kind of richy kind of cigar lounge. But a lot of big Hollywood deals are crunched. There's lots of execs sitting around, you know.
Can we get that as a prize on this show, Gracie? A trip to George Hamilton's cigar lounge. That sounds fantastic.
But Jacko's turned up, honking onto a cigar. Now, there's a bit to digest here. Firstly, you got Michael Jackson and George Hamilton in the same room. There's two fairly spooky complexions. There's two complexions that start at very different poles, but are doing their best to meet somewhere in the middle. Secondly, who does Jacko think he is all of a sudden? George Pappard? This is a bloke who, when he's not getting about in a surgical mask, is sitting at home cowering in his oxygen tent. Now, all of a sudden, he's turning up on the soggy end of a Cuban poop stick. What's all that about? Next thing you know, I'll be getting around about in a pair of those long johns with the flappy bit that hangs over your ass. What's he think he's up to? Can you get a mental image of it, Tone? You see him smoking a cigar? No. I can't. All I'm getting, if you can imagine him honking onto a few at the one time, is that ghost from Ghostbusters. As he walked into the lounge, George Hamilton stood at the door shouting, "We've got one!"
This is Martin Malloy.
Gareth, I love you.
Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst, the seriously cool green power source.
Pistols, here's...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
The Pistols are on their way down under, Mickey. I'm sure everybody knows about it. I'm sure they've seen those ads that come on late at night on the telly telling us all about the Pistols. Sure, we've stacked on a bit. Sure, we require oxygen to be brought out on the stage halfway through. This is true, Johnny.
Do not adjust your television sets.
He's had to call for the oxygen tanks halfway through a number the other day in America. But he's fine, and they're coming out here. And incidentally, if you want to see the Pistols in action, I think they're on the David Letterman program live this Friday night. That's Friday night in America, so I think that means it'll be the one going out here Saturday night.
Correct.
Saturday night. I think that's correct. It's Dennis Hopper and the Sex Pistols. Quite a lineup.
Oh, there's a lot of kook value there.
On David Letterman, which is one of the only shows where you get to see any decent live music on the telly these days. So check that out. I think it'll be this Saturday night if I've got my dates right, whenever that comes on. But they're coming here, and everyone's cashing in on the Pistols. And I'll tell you somebody else who's decided to jump on board the Pistols bandwagon. The mother of late punk rocker Sid Vicious has formed her own group to cash in on the hype surrounding the Pistols reunion. Anne Beverly, 53, whose son, of course, died of a heroin overdose in 1979 at the age of 21, now fronts her own outrageous punk group, Road Rage.
Road Rage.
Mrs. Vicious has jumped into the act. And what would that be like, going along to see Sid Vicious's mum in concert? What, she'd be spitting on people and then going, "You've got something on your face. Come over here. Come over here. Get hanky, hanky." What's that going to be like, Mrs. Vicious in concert? I'd go and see that. I'm there.
Roadies, bring her a plate.
Yes, well, we're not going to talk about that. What we're saying is, tell us about something outrageous that your mum's done. We've talked about mums before many times on Radio Gladiators, but have we talked about outrageous stunts that they've pulled? Mm. You know, everyone's mum is fairly sensible, but now and then they just go completely nuts and do something crazy. Here's something my mum did when she was at school. My mum's school, they used to take the big school photo. Mm. It's the real long, skinny one that gets the whole school, like 900 kids in the one go. But they have to take it in sections. Everyone has to sit perfectly still, so they have to take it in five bits to get the whole school in. Mm. My mum's on one end, and while they're setting up for the next one, she's run right the way around the back and got at the other end, so she's in the school photo twice.
That's spooky.
Have we got the X-Files?
No, we don't need it.
It's real. You're looking at the photo going, "That's real weird." Tony's mum times two. It's like the end of The Shining or something.
That little photo.
Wow. Hey. So that's outrageous behaviour from somebody's mum, namely mine. What about yours?
I can't compete with that. The most outrageous thing I think my mum's ever done was go to a Charlie Pride concert.
And had to be talked into it too.
Yeah. But did enjoy it in retrospect. No, that's it. Once she feigned an illness, to get out of going to see a production of My Fair Lady, which I wonder about because you just cop that lecture all your time. Stand up and face your responsibilities, Michael. Michael, no, there's no getting out of it. It's a growing experience. You'll only be benefiting from it in the long run. Yeah,
with a little bit of blooming luck. Oh, yes. Tell you what, my girlfriend's mum, who's a very, very sensible woman, never does really anything too outrageous.
All right, you got the disclaimer out of the way.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get myself out of trouble. Once went to a fancy dress party. I've seen photos dressed as Ronnie Barker.
Now,
fairly outrageous.
Ronnie Barker.
Well, her husband was dressed as Ronnie Corbett. Yeah, so they went as the two Ronnies. It was outrageous. I mean, sure, it's not the same as, you know, setting up your own Sex Pistols style band.
No, it's poles apart.
Yeah, but that's the kind of thing we're looking for today. We want outrageous stories about your mum. Mm. Tell us about it. And do we have a prize? Gracie, if you could fire up the punk guitars for a moment. We've got a pair of cool Bolle Sunnies. You'll go into the draw this Friday when we send somebody to Falls Creek, courtesy Qantas, courtesy the Diana Lodge, and courtesy, is it Gebis? Do we know yet, Em? I think I said Gebis yesterday. We're going to say a different pronunciation every day. It's G-E-B-I-S Ski Hire at Falls Creek. You can't do better than that. Call us with an outrageous bit of behaviour that your mum perpetrated. 1-800-657-657.
Martin Molloy on SAFM.
As I lay me down here at Martin Molloy, it's Radio Gladiators. And today, because we've been taken by this little story in the paper about the mum of the late Sid Vicious, what she's done is she set up her own punk rock outfit to cash in on the Sex Pistols reunion. They're called Road Rage. She's Anne Beverly. She's 53, and I hope she's coming to your town soon with this act she's got going. We're asking today, what is the most outrageous thing that your mum's done? Who have we got on the line? Mickey.
We got Brent on the line. G'day, Brent. How are you, bud?
Not too bad, mate.
That's the way. Tell us about your mum. What'd she do?
Me and a few mates were down the pub one night.
Yep.
And we got a bit pissed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we didn't have any money for the cab fare home.
Sure.
So I rang mum.
Oh, very responsible. So far, so good.
As you do.
Oh, yeah. And it was pretty late, about 1 a.m.
Yep.
She's coming to pick us up. We got in the car. She's in her dressing gown.
Oh, is she? What colour dressing gown is it? Paint the picture, Brent.
Light blue, terry toweling.
Oh, very nice.
Ankle length gown.
Oh, classic.
Mm. Yeah, and on our way home, booze bus.
Oh, dear.
Would you please step out of the car, driver?
Would you please step back into the car, driver?
Oh, no, you can get going, lady. You're all right.
So it had a happy ending?
Yeah, I didn't deploy zero, we think.
Right. Right. Well, that's good to hear. Well, that's fairly outrageous, I suppose.
There you go. And that was it. Did your mum have words to you afterwards? Did you blame
you?
No,
not really.
No, she would have been, I think she would have been pretty happy with that whole scenario.
All right.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Brent.
Seen women shopping in worse.
Can we go any more outrageous than Brent? I think we can. Mm-hmm. Sally, what did your mum get up to?
Oh, we were at the carnival up in Brisbane.
Yes.
And I was only a young teenager and I wanted to go on all the rides and mum had come on a couple and I said to her I wanted to go on the Super Loop. So she said, oh, I don't know about that. So she finally ended up coming on and it started and we're upside down and we're going round and round and it started to rain and, of course, mum thought someone had been sick on it.
Oh, dear. Just getting your mum onto the Super Loop's an achievement in itself, Sal.
Yeah, well, I can't get it on anything now, I tell
you. Hey, Sally, are you calling us from the Super Loop at the moment? Sounds like you might be.
Oh, yeah, I'm in the tunnel.
You're in the tunnel? And the phone's still working. What brand is it? That's sensational.
Oh, no, I can't tell you that.
Okay. All right. Mum thinking she's been thrown up on at the fun park.
Would have been better if she was in her dressing gown on the Super Loop. That would have been nice.
Okay, let's see if Jason's mum is wearing a dressing gown. You there, Jason?
Yeah, mate. G'day.
What have you got for us?
It's another pub-related mother story.
Yeah, no worries. Go for your life.
As you usually go to the pub on Friday night, we were pretty smashed and indulging in a game of darts, and Mum came down actually to pick Dad up, I think.
Right.
And I spotted her through the crowd, and we ushered her over to the dart board and hassled her to have a game, and she just wouldn't.
Has she got any skill at all or previous experience with the darts?
Well, mate, I didn't even know that she knew what darts was, and she's as blind as a bat, and it was a dingy little dark room. And we finally made her pick up the darts, and she threw 3 triple 20s and walked out.
Oh!
with a smoking gun in her hand.
She's couldn't believe it.
Through three triple 20s and said, I'll see you at home, son.
Mate, the bar was just dead quiet.
And do people still talk of that incident and it gets a bit more exaggerated each time? She glassed a bloke and smashed a chair on someone as she went out, that kind of thing?
No, they always ask me where mum is when I go back to the pub. The publican does anyway.
Well, is there any talk of darts becoming an Olympic sport at this stage, Mick?
I'd like to think it'd be on the horizon very soon, Tone.
Well, we'll call your mum if it happens. Thanks, Jason. That's a beauty. But Kelly's with us now. Kelly, tell us about your mum.
Well, my mum and dad actually went out with all of Dad's workmates.
Right.
My mum and dad decided they'd go snorkeling.
Snorkeling?
Under the water, snorkeling as she was. Mm. And then it turned out she thought she'd seen my father, same speedo colours.
Yeah.
So she thought, oh, I'll swim up and sneak on him. She actually grabbed this person, thought it was my father, came up and felt that it wasn't my father and decided, no, this is a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, that's certainly a mix-up confusion. And did she feel embarrassed? Did she have a line appropriate for the occasion?
Well, I don't know about her, but the little boy just ran out of the water, and I don't think he's ever been back in the water since.
Is that a compliment to your dad? That
I know, considering it's a 12-year-old boy. No, I don't think so.
Oh, I think I'm sure your dad's thankful she was able to tell the difference at that particular point.
I bet he is too.
Every time your mum goes snorkeling, now they bring in the dun-dun.
All right, thanks, Kelly. Unfortunate but true.
Unfortunate but true. Like, Kelly's mum on the grope.
All right. There's a new segment. Now we've got Dee on the line. You there, Dee?
Yes, I am.
What's your mum been up to?
Oh, it was my mum-in-law, and it was a while ago. It was her eldest son's 21st, and it was held at a local lounge in a club.
Yeah.
And this is a really sort of straight lady who never lets go of a handbag, you know, that sort of mum?
Yes, indeed.
And anyway, the party had come to an end, and she'd had a few beers and celebrated and whatnot, and somehow took possession of one of those steel beer barrel things.
A keg!
Yeah, you know those big steel silvery things?
Oh, yeah, the barrels, yeah.
Yes,
got a couple in here right now.
Okay, well, this was an unhooked one, and she decided that she might take it home with her, and we were all on foot, and here she is wheeling this barrel down the Hume Highway, saying it was the best church social she'd ever been to. And there was no way she was letting go of that handbag either.
And what happened the next morning?
Oh, she just denied it. She denied it. She smacked the boys across the head and said, you take that straight back to that club now.
Well, that's a sensational story, Dee.
She was just cleaning up.
Yeah.
Oh, mums love to clean up after a party.
Exactly. I don't like any loose ends, like, you know, a stray barrel of beer. All right, thanks, Dee. That is an absolute beauty. But we do have time for just one more, and that's Luke. Are you there, Luke?
Yes, I am.
Thanks for waiting. Tell us about your mum. What'd she get up to?
Well, my mum, she works in a butcher's at Woolworths.
Right.
And my dad, he works at a place where they make fake limbs.
And, okay.
One of the guys at the limb place died, so we scored a hand.
Yes.
And mum took it to work. And as she walked past the bandsaw in the butcher, she threw it up and screamed. And all the butchers are absolutely having a heart attack because the guy left the bandsaw on as she walked past. And she threw it down and three guys resigned. And one guy was put off on compo for like 3 weeks on stress leave.
Oh,
and he was spewing,
Well, now, at the start of the segment, we asked for outrageous behaviour involving your mum. And Luke's certainly come good.
Yes, indeed.
So your mum's got a fake limb and passing it off as the real thing
sure
in the butcher shop.
And one bloke's had to have compo.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's
3 weeks.
That's pretty outrageous. Is it our winner, bud?
No, I think we're going back to D-Tone with
yes.
The keg.
Yes, Rob, the keg home. It just had it. There was a classical simplicity about it that just seemed to say something.
I am, but it's so true.
Well, that's what we were chasing today against a pretty tough field. You've sneaked over by a nose. You've got yourself the bolo sunny. See if you can get your mum to put those on. And you could be off to Falls Creek if you come out of the draw this Friday. So thanks for playing today, Dee.
Thank you.
Say hello to your mum for us.
If she's still talking to me.
Okay. Does she listen to this program?
I don't know.
I guess not somehow.
Only after a keg.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody who had a story for us today. And we'll be back in the next hour with Mrs. O'Neill's young lad, Dave.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst.
And
end in this hour of Martin Malloy. We're ready to receive your true confessions. Whether I can put two words together or not, we're going to forward John. We'll give you Kieran Perkins Week. And next up, we're talking to Dave O'Neill, all thanks to Powerade Tidal Burst.
That's Mariah Carey right there with Always Be My Baby. It's the second hour of Martin Malloy and Mickey. Time to move up a bit on the couch as we welcome this bloke. He's been in before and he's back for his booster shots. He's a writer, comedian, one of the stars of the stage show Smells Like Bin Night, which has either been to or is coming soon to your neighbourhood. Please make him welcome, even if you've got no idea who the hell he is. It's Dave O'Neill.
Hey, thank you.
No offence, Dave, but we go to Darwin. I'm not sure how big you are in Darwin.
Not big, but I'm doing the Cole Elliott support, so hopefully, yeah.
Are you really?
No, not at all.
Okay, now listen, we were talking about outrageous stuff that your mum's done. Has your mum done any outrageous stuff we can
do? Not so much my mum, more my dad. My dad, I reckon my dad could join the Sex Pistols because he's known for his lack of judgment when it comes to rock music.
Really?
When we were about 5 or 6, he took us to the beach to one of those outside concerts, and, and there was this band playing, and he looked up and he said about the band, he said, "This band will never get anywhere." The name of that band? AC/DC.
Oh, well, there you go. And who did he like? Who did he give the thumbs up to?
It was Brian Cabb.
Caddy,
mate, caddy.
All right. Now, Dave, are you going to be in tonight filling out your census form? I think you have to be by law.
Yeah, well, actually, is that why you've invited me tonight? Because you just want me to be on the Martin Malloy census form. Is that why?
We're trying to pad our census.
You're on our ticket, buddy.
So am I your de facto, Mick? I'm a bit confused, mate.
Whatever, just tick the box.
Every 4 years, I have my annual, annual 4 year stuff up the census party in my house. Yeah. My one bedroom flat. This time, I've invited 100 Rwandan refugees over, and we're just gonna party all night and then fill in the form in the morning.
Because it doesn't matter who shows up at your place. There, include. We were talking about this the other day. If a bloke breaks into your house with balaclava on, you've got to sit him down, and get him to fill out.
Oh, exactly. But there is a hotline you can ring if you've got any problems with the census. 131-608.
Yeah.
I actually rang with a few questions. I said, "Hotline, sir, are you wearing a bikini?" Seriously, though, my form's orange. Is that normal? I don't know. Then I just kept ringing throughout the day, all sorts of questions. Any questions, just ring with any questions. I'll ring with them. "Excuse me, you know oranges are called oranges. Why are bananas called yellows, you know? Like, and what's happened to Tim Ferguson? When's he coming back on the screen?" I'm a bit upset.
Because that's not much dopier than some of the questions they're asking us this year. There's a few in there.
So what were you doing on the date of 6th of August, 1996, you know? Oh, give me some thinking music, please.
And how'd you get to work? How'd you get to work?
And it's good if you don't know the answer, give your best answer possible. Your best. So under job, I wrote astronaut.
Well,
that's
exactly.
Not bad.
That's as good as it gets. Now, what else have you been up to?
Well, I'm glad the Olympics are over, frankly, because I was starting to feel inferior because I couldn't run, skip, hop, or swim, or throw a stick with any ability. You know what I mean? But I asked the question: what's going to happen to these Olympians now they come home? I know, fair enough. Kieran Perkins will be doing Sizzler and Milk ads to the day he dies, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But what about someone like Stefan Botev?
Who's Stefan?
Bronze medal in the weightlifting.
Oh, right, that's Stefan.
What's going to happen to him? Obviously, don't tell me he's not going to be working his dad's milk bar about 2 months down the road. And you'll go in there, get a pint of milk, newspaper, and hey, lift the counter above your head, you fat bastard. Come on. Do it again. Neville.
How much cash is he down to on bronze?
I don't know. I read today they're topping it up.
Are they?
Yeah, they're topping it up. It's, I think you could get more on the buyback scheme for your gun than you could for a gold medal. So there's been some embarrassment about it. Yeah. And then now I think they've got it's 25 grand for gold.
Oh,
which
is
still half the original asking price.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
And the closing ceremony, you mentioned the giant kangaroos. Basically, balloon animals is what you said. I agree. Mm. What next in Sydney? We're going to see juggling? A bit of mime work? A bit of theatre sports? Get Cole Elliott up there. Yeah, g'day. Hey, where you from? Who cut your hair? Council, woohoo! We're going off.
Well, that's
thank you, good night.
All good ideas for Sydney in the year 2000. A bit of Cole's work, I'd like to see it. It's the crack up Olympics come the year 2000. Now, Dave, can you stick around for another? Are you all Olympic'd out? Are you exhausted?
I'm all Olympic'd out after that.
Okay, well, we'll be back with more of the rejuvenated Dave O'Neill in just a moment. I'm Mark Malloy. Oh, I love the indie bit of Alanis Morissette's You Learn here at Martin Molloy, where Dave O'Neill is sitting in on the panel. Comedian Dave O'Neill, support act to the stars.
Yes.
And last time you were on the show, Dave, you pretty much buggered up your chances of ever supporting ventriloquist David Strassman, the American ventriloquist who pops out here from time to time, again, by telling a pretty unsavoury story about him. So we thought, let's put you on the spot. Bugger it, let's get another one. You got any other stories
I've got heaps of true Strassman stories. This one sort of is not so bad on the reflection on him. It's more reflection on the place we went. Yeah. We're basically touring regional Victoria, so we're going up to Ballarat. And on the left, as we were driving along, Chuck was driving, which was a bit of a worry. Chuck Wood. Anyway, we're driving along, and we saw Cryle Castle. Shimmering.
Castle.
Now, for people that don't know Cryle Castle, it's a medieval theme park. Well, I'll rephrase it. It's a crap medieval theme park, right? And Strassman goes, hey, what's it over there? I said, Dave, that's just like Disneyland, but a bit better. So he pulled over, right? It was a Tuesday, and it was close. Because, you know, Tuesday medieval theme park closed for cleaning the moat, I think. But luckily, Strassman was famous, and this guy opened up the door and let us in. And he actually lived in the theme park. His name His name was Prince Theodore II. Right? That's what he said, or Barry to his mates.
Right, yes. While he's off duty.
And, and he actually lived in this theme park. And then he said, look, don't get the idea that we have wild orgies and sex parties. And we were looking at him thinking, we had not that idea in our head at all, mate.
Because I've actually seen the brochure. Someone said it's the brochure for Cryle Castle, and they've got, you know, wenches, stocks, and then like some of the features that they've highlighted are whipping, torture.
I know how you worked out it was closed, because every time it's a line ball. It could be open, it could be closed. There's never really a peak hour Cryle Castle way, is there?
It peaked in the 70s.
Happy hour.
During the Jamboree, they had their most visits because they had to deal with the scouts going. But anyway, he showed us around. He showed us ye olde glass blowing.
Oh, right?
Ye olde bawdy wenches. Ye olde ride that had to be closed down because of ye fatal accident.
That's not true.
Just joking.
Only joking. Mr. Cryle. Sir Cryle. Anyway, he then showed us the lions, right? He had these two great ye olde stuffed lions. Now, I remember.
Stuffed lions.
They weren't alive. They were stuffed in the foyer, right? Mm. And I said, now, didn't those lions used to be alive? Because I remember back in the 70s, they used to dance and they used to throw live ye olde rats to them and they whipped them and stuff, the torture and stuff. And he said, yes, they were alive. Yeah. But we got such protest from the animal liberationists, we killed them.
That's very humane. Everybody's happy.
And then he said, but the ironic thing is that when they're alive, they're only worth $1,000. Right. When they're dead and stuff, they're worth $3,000 each.
Oh, fantastic.
And Strassman said, why don't you get the two stuffed ones to meet and have another one and get another $3,000, man?
It sounds like something from his show. And you may laugh, Dave O'Neill, but I'll have you know that Cryle Castle is in fact the official residence of the Duchess of York when she comes out here now.
I could believe that.
And Michael Jackson too. Been known to stay there when in Australia.
Now, that didn't reflect quite as badly on David as your previous story, Dave, so you've got yourself out of trouble. I just want to ask, I know you're a stand-up comedian, so obviously you're in and out of work. We know what the life's like. Are you having to fill out the dull diary? Does that include you?
It's not only a stand-up comedian, but an arts graduate, so that's a double whammy for unemployment. I've been more up and down than Tim Ferguson's career advisor, but the dull diary, I just imagine writing it, dear diary, when will I ever find a job? Fell in love with Natasha at the Social Security last week. Yes. apparently, though, the best one's going to be published, which I'm looking forward to.
Right?
I wonder if they're going to have little locks on them like your little sister used to have on her diary. Yeah. But I reckon what's going to happen, it's like filling out your doll form. You're just going to copy or make things up, aren't you? Like you said before, you're going to copy. I can't imagine a guy in Perth handing one in that reads, Wednesday, shipwrecked on the island. Met this big black guy, going to call him Man Friday.
I'm going to a dull diary reading.
Yeah.
It's really beatnik. People kind of click along and you just read.
Yeah. Day 24, man. Still out of work, dude.
Mickey, can I ask, did you get sucked in by the Hitler doll diaries?
No. What a take.
Suck me in a beauty. Now, Dave, we're mentioning your stand-up career gigs. Have you got anything you'd like to plug? Because now's your chance.
I'm actually on at the ESPY tonight in Melbourne, Tuesday night, with Alan Parks, Book Legion, a few other people. That's tonight. And also, I'm coming to Brisbane.
Oh, Brizzy.
Brisbane, my favourite town, because that's where I can wear my flannels and thongs with style up there. So that's coming up late August.
And where are you playing there?
At the sit-down comedy club at Dockside.
Very good room.
Oh, very nice.
Played there myself.
Yes, you've played there. You've tread the boards.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, Dave, you're not done with yet, because I've just decided on the spur of the moment to invite you to stick around for True Confessions. You want to do that?
Yes, because I've got a... I might have a bit of a confession myself.
All right. Yes. Well, let's hear that next on Martin Malloy.
Oh, there you go. It's Phil Collins, as it so often is, at Martin Malloy with Against All Odds. And Pete, if you can do the honours.
Got something you want to get off your chest? Well, now's your chance, because it's time for Martin Malloy True Confessions. Maybe you've forgotten someone's birthday. Perhaps you've been stealing stationery from work. Or maybe it's just that you're the brains behind TV's Mahatma Coat. Everybody has a guilty secret, but only Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to fess up and bag yourself a fabulous prize.
It was meant to be a dance down at the local surf club, and everyone was meant to dress like Michael Jackson.
Right.
So a girlfriend and I get dressed up, tarted up to the max, and head down to the local surf club, and the dance would be cancelled.
And why was the Michael Jackson lookalike competition called off? Was it just a case of too hard?
I think it was lack of interest.
Michael Jackson wouldn't win a Michael Jackson lookalike contest these days.
Three confessors enter the booth, but only one emerges with the George Michael 3.5 pack of CDs and goes into the draw for a trip for two to the UK to see George Michael live in concert. All thanks to Foxtel's Red Music Television. Okay, lads, let them off the hook.
Yes, it's time for True Confessions, and Mickey, Dave O'Neill, comedian Dave O'Neill, is stuck around, so I think it's only fair that we get him to fess up. Could we wheel the booth out, Gracie? Bring it out if you could. There it is. What do you make of that? Prime craftsmanship, Dave.
That's beautiful.
Now you're in trouble, Dave. You know that, don't you?
U10 woodwork.
Yeah, very nice. Let's step inside. And Dave's on the other side. Just open the little slidey door. And Dave, now's your chance. Got something you want to get out of your system? Confess up. It has to be true.
Well, it is true. I was actually arrested when I was about 16 for making a bomb.
Oh, you weren't Australia's own Unabomber?
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I was actually dobbed in by my dad, but that's a long story. What happened? We used to make these bombs out of household objects. I won't say what they are, kids, but if you're going to make one, leave all your money to Dave O'Neill, Kerr of Martin Malloy.
Tonya Todman's making one next week on Healthy, Wealthy and Wise. Tune in then.
Anyway, we let it off in the paddock, and the police, it was a beauty. The police were called, and this Indian bomb expert came down, true, with like these really, what to us looked like long barbecue tongs, and picked up the bomb, going, oh, blame me. I think it was actually Mahatma Coat in an earlier career decision there.
Yeah.
And then the policeman turned up, which was a real shocker because he was an ex-scout of my dad who was a scout leader.
Right.
Yeah, and he picked up the container and he had a look at it, and he saw my dad washing his car, and he said, hello, Kevin, how are you? And Dad said, oh, good to see you made the move to the police. You went from green uniform to blue uniform. Excellent work, you know. We trained you well, you know, one fascist organisation to another, etc. He said, Kevin, do you recognise this bottle? And he said, Dad said, yeah, that's from my garage. I said, right, is young David around then? And so he found us, and we were taken up to the station in the back of the DB wagon.
Right.
And we got the good cop, bad cop routine. He said, we got the bad cop routine.
Oh, the even worse cop. All right, then. We're giving you a round of booze, Dave.
It was terrible. Do I win the Wham CD now? I like Wham.
You're not going anywhere near the UK, but it does it feel better to get it out of your system?
It does. It feels really good.
Okay, that's the kind of sensation you could experience, listeners.
A bloke making bombs in his spare time. We've let you off the hook, Dave.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're 16, you're interested in girls, but they won't talk to you. So what do? You make bombs.
Exactly.
BMX or bombs.
It's a simple transition. And we'd like people to call up with not necessarily bomb-making stories. It can be something as simple as cheating at cards like we had yesterday. So call us up with your true confession here at Martin Malloy, 1-800-657.
From the 70s and 80s. Thank you.
Thank you, Maestro Gracie. That tells us it must be time for True Confessions here at Martin Malloy. It's a purging. It's a mass national exorcism of guilty secrets. It's a forum for those deep, dark thoughts that you've been keeping to yourself. It's your chance to get it out in the open. It's as simple as that. Who have we got confessing up? Well, hang on. Have we gone through?
We're already in.
Are we already in the booth?
You can't tell?
We're in the booth. Well, just for fun, let's open the curtain anyway. I just love hearing it. I don't know. Okay, we're in the booth, and let's open up the wooden slidey door. Who's our first confessor? Mickey.
Hello, Damien.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, not too bad, thanks.
Got something to tell us?
Yes, I have.
Shoot.
To this day, my mum doesn't actually know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was about 13 years of age,
right,
me and a few mates were up in the a factory roof in Geelong. And one of my mates is a little bit lighter than what I was. I was a bit chubby at the age 13.
Yes.
And he jumped from one level down to another.
Right, so you weren't supposed to be there, were you, Dave?
No, it was actually on a Good Friday.
Oh, dear.
And that, and be a good little, say, Catholic boy. Wasn't supposed to be in those places, but anyway.
All right.
And anyway,
So he's jumped.
Yeah, he jumped, and he landed safely. And I jumped, and I went straight through the roof, because it was an old 5-0 shooting roof.
Oh, damn, through the roof.
Yeah, and I landed down inside the factory.
Yes.
And here's me mate and another mate looking through the hole, what I made, and looking down and yelling out, "Are you all right, Robbo?" Because that was my nickname. And,
right.
And
that was your name? Was it, Robbo was your nickname, was it Damien?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, I said, "Just get the hell out of here, you know, you two..."
Save yourselves!
Yeah, save yourselves, and I'll look after myself.
Right.
Anyway, I eventually got myself out of this factory, found a door what was open, and scaled over the fence, and headed home kind of limping with a sore foot. Yeah. A sore leg, sorry. And my brother, Bernard, was looking for me at the time. And...
Oh, you Bernie.
He's
Neville, that was his nickname, I think, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anyway, I saw him and that and said, "Look, tell Mum on my way home I've got a sore leg.
Right.
But just don't tell Mum where I've been." I told him the truth and said, "Don't tell Mum where I've been." And I get home and Mum said, "Oh, what happened to your leg?" And I said, "Oh, I found it down the Wallbridge steps."
Oh, so you just turned on a few porkies.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. She's listening today. She finally knows the secret that, in fact, you were out shed surfing.
Yeah.
And we warn against shed surfing, don't we, Mickey?
Oh, we do, as we do about confessional booth surfing. So get down, Tony Martin, right now.
All righty. Well, Damien, does it feel better now to have got the secret out of your system?
It does.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks, Damien, a.k.a. Robbo.
It took a while to get it out of his system too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, but he finally got there. He purged himself, and more power to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think behind the second slidey window, it's a triple barrel confession booth. It's fantastic. Thanks very much to the people at Lockwood Homes for knocking it up for us. Julie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You got something you want to tell us about?
Yes.
Okay, take it away.
I went into a light shop couple of times and there was this grouse light and it was $160.
Oh.
And I couldn't afford the $160, so I went back a couple of weeks later, different bird in the store, and I said, "How much is that light in the window?"
Yeah.
She said, "I don't know." So I've quickly peeled the sticker off and I got it for $99.
Oh, disgraceful behaviour.
And you've got the light, Julie?
I'm looking at it now. It's a perler.
And does it give out some kind of evil light?
It
Do you
does.
Look at it and does it remind you of your work?
It does.
Yes.
It's
and
a ripper.
And have we got your address at this stage, Julie?
No, you haven't.
All right. And by the way, Julie, is your nickname Robbo?
No.
Okay, just inquiring. I thought it might have been. Okay.
Come on, Julie. You're forgiven.
Is this the first time that you've indulged in a crime of this nature?
Definitely not.
Okay. Well, we'll see you again tomorrow on the segment.
Okay.
Yes. Only one confession per day, I'm afraid, per customer. All right, next
up. Eight items or less lame, that one.
All right, what about Patricia, Mickey? Let's find out what she's got to say. You there, Patricia?
Yeah, I went to Melbourne about 8 years ago.
Oh, yes. We can't accept that, I don't think.
No, more information, please.
No, I went to see strippers.
Oh, you went to see strippers?
Yes.
Okay, and that's what you're confessing to?
Oh, well, that my boyfriend stayed at home to babysit while I was out watching these strippers.
And he didn't know about it?
Well, no, I told him I was going down to see a friend's auntie.
Oh!
Queensland, it was last year.
And was it one of these kind of manpower style deals?
Oh, God, yeah.
And
front row seats. It was
and
beautiful.
Did you enjoy my performance?
Oh, most certainly.
Yes, well, thanks for that 22. Still got it in the derps.
And Patricia, so would this be, if your boyfriend's listening, would this be the first he's hearing about it?
Oh, yeah. We've broken up since then, but I've never had the courage to tell him.
Oh, well, I hope he listens to the program. And,
so
and,
do I.
And Patricia, are you one of these people who sort of gets, you know, totally off their nuts and just starts yelling out, "Get them off!" That kind of deer?
Oh, yes. Grab touchy feet.
Oh, right, okay. Well, is that our winner, Mickey?
I think it might be.
Okay.
Because you're going to Melbourne to see strippers
when she should have been doing something else.
Visiting the art, you know, I like a bit of shed work. I don't think if we can actually give a prize to someone who stole a vase.
I like that a lot, though.
That makes us accessories, I think. So, Patricia, it's all yours. You've got the 3.5 pack of CDs, and you've gone into the drawer for the trip to the UK, where you'll be seeing George Michael. I think he keeps the pants on for the duration of the act.
That's a shame.
I see. All right, well, calm down, Patricia. Thanks for helping us out today, and we'll be back with some more True Confessions at the same time tomorrow. And until then, remember...
You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Martin Malloy.
Next week on Martin Malloy is Kieran Perkins Week. Like so many of our fellow broadcasters, we're going to milk this superfish cash cow for every last ratings point we can. First, we'll be reliving Kieran Perkins' triumph in Atlanta. When our Olympic hero steps off the plane, we'll be there to meet him. Then we'll follow him home, camp outside his house, and while he's unpacking, bombard him with this relentless, triumphant music. Oh, and let's not forget this one. During Kieran Perkins Week on Martin Malloy, we'll be there when he pops down the shops for a carton of milk. And when he comes back... we'll be there when he puts the bins out in what could well be a personal best time and a new world record for Australia's Kieran Perkins. When he's out the back, in the shed, hiding from us under a large tarpaulin, we'll be there reminding him that it's Kieran Perkins Week on Martin Malloy. And when he comes out swearing like a trooper and chasing us up the street with a rake, we'll be there timing him, cheering him on and saying, there he is, Australia's Kieran Perkins, the man with a heart as big as Farlap's, here on Kieran Perkins Week. Sadly, not in the least bit exclusive to Martin Malloy.
Time for today on Martin Malloy. I'd just like to point out that thing we ran earlier, the Pete Smith wake-up call... It was a joke.
Please stop calling. He's not going to ring you in the morning.
That idea seems to have touched a nerve with a lot of people. They're quite keen on the idea.
Everyone wants to wake up to Pete.
We better tell him. Maybe we're sitting on a goldmine.
Maybe we should start marketing this idea.
We're never quick enough with the marketing ideas, are we? You know, visit the Martin Malloy website. That, by the way,
a lot of people say, how much money are you guys making off that? It's nothing.
It's just something we're doing for free on the weekends.
You do it for the love, team, mate.
It's just something to amuse ourselves, the Martin Malloy website.
Can you make money off the internet?
Oh, somebody's making some money somehow.
Who?
I don't know. Maybe it's Pete Smith. Pete, give us the address.
http://martinmalloy.village.com.au.
Oh, he's got it memorised. Good on you, Pete. And
that can be his wake-up reminder call for you in the morning.
Wakes me up every time. Now, before we go, we're always interested in, the work of master criminals on the program. And do we need to go through the list again? We've had the bloke with the drawn-on sunglasses.
Yeah.
We've had, of course, Fumio Kutsumi, the Japanese man tried to hijack a plane with a screwdriver. You were telling us about the man who who robbed a bank with no disguise. 3 days later, came back, tried to deposit all the money he stole at the same branch.
There you go.
Well, listen to this. Prison escapee of the year has to be this bloke. A prisoner desperate to get out of jail spent 2 days covering his body in yellow highlighter pen in a bid to make warders think he had jaundice. The inmate serving 6 years at Parkhurst Jail in southern England for attempted robbery hoped warders would transfer him to hospital. His plan was thwarted when a guard looked through a cell door inspection hatch in the middle of the night and saw him using the pen on his face. A jail spokesman said the middle-aged inmate had even painted his private bits. Now, he's wanting to get transferred to a hospital. If you look through a door and saw a bloke colouring in his genitals with a felt pen, that'd be enough to get you transferred. I don't think you'd have to go the extra step to the jaundice.
He's going to have his hands full tonight. I mean, census night. He's got to colour his face in. He's got to fill out the census. There's just not enough hours in the day.
How do you get the pen? Do you think they smuggled it in a cake? What if you sent a green one? Oh, I'll give it a go. Okay. I'm running out of green. I'll finish it in pink.
Oh, dear. But look, I know it sounds like a stupid idea, but obviously it gets results. So, I mean, look, Matt McCoke got out.
That was his plan.
That'll do. He must have been sitting in jail for 5 years colouring in.
Yes, and sadly.
Wrapped up a bed sheet, put it on his head, walked out the front door.
And a new genius was born. What about this bloke? Now he's back in the prison system. Mm. He wouldn't be too hard to find, would he? You know, out in the exercise yard, you just send for Johnson. He's the one who's highlighted. You can't miss him. Well, he goes into the Martin Molloy Hall of Fame like a shot, that bloke, and we must go. Thanks to our guests, Dave O'Neill, and all our gladiators and true confessors. We'll be back tomorrow with the midweek Hester Report. And until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Molloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Pete Smith speaking.